so much to Kevin and the team for leading us so beautifully this morning. Folk, I normally, as you know, preach from a set of notes. I try to print them multiple times, actually, over the last couple of days. So when the printer eventually starts working, I'm just warning Ross and Liesl, you're going to see a flood of sermons coming through that system. So I'm going to actually preach from the computer this morning. But before I do that, I want to ask Tim to come up, and he's going to do the Bible reading for us this morning from Luke chapter 7. Those are lovely sandals, Tim. They don't belong to you, but they are very nice.
Jesus raises a widow's son. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Do not cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin they were carrying him on, and the bearers stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. Now off to Sunday school, please, lad. Go and learn some life lessons there, boy. Makes you so proud of that boy. He played a match against Stirling yesterday. And if I may say so, bowled 10 overs, 3 maidens, 3 for 15. Not bad, eh? So, like father, like son. Like father, like son. One of those, like father, like son. Right, folk, we're taking a break from our series in Corinthians this morning and we're going back to the Gospel of Luke. And sometimes it's good to go back to the Gospels because the Gospels are really an opportunity to reflect on the life and the ministry of Jesus. And so that's exactly what we're doing this morning. And in those verses Tim read, what Luke does is he introduces us to a lady. The lady is a widow, as you may have noticed. And what I want you to try and do this morning is I want you to try and connect emotionally with her this morning. She's on her way to a funeral, and she is about to bury not just her son, but as the Bible says, her only son. So try and connect emotionally with where she is this morning. And the truth is that all of us, the Bible says, folk will have seasons, days when life is hard. And on the board I've got there that Solomon, and Solomon's regarded as the wisest man who ever lived, said these wise words. And he said, there's a season for everything in life. A time for everything under heaven. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And so for this widow, she found herself in a very difficult, a very hard, a very sad season of her life. And maybe there's someone this morning that can relate to that. Things for you, not just today, but maybe over the last little while, the last season, have been hard, have been challenging in one form or one way or another. And I want us to see what we can learn from her, and more particularly from Jesus this morning. Jesus, what I love about Jesus is when he ministered, he painted a realistic picture of what life on earth would be like, not just for the non-Christian, but even for the follower of Jesus Christ. He never tried to hoodwink us or to pull the wool over our eyes. So listen to these words in John 16, verse 33. Jesus says this. He says, in this world, during your 70, 80, 90, 100 years on this planet, Jesus says you, what? You will have trouble. Anyone can relate to that this morning? Anyone had a bit of trouble over the last couple of years and I'm telling you, Jesus is not lying. In this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said, but be encouraged, for I've overcome the world. It's possible for you, in that place of pain, in that place of trouble, to experience a level of victory you never imagined possible. Jesus says it. Peter says this. He says, do not be surprised at the fiery trial you are experiencing. And again, that fiery trial is more than likely different for different people. But don't be surprised at the fiery trial you're experiencing as though some strange thing were happening to you. So what Peter's saying is, this is normal. This is life. Good things happen. Bad things happen. Seasons change. And that's exactly what we've experienced in our own life. So what can we learn from Jesus this morning? Number one, Jesus goes out of his way to find hurting people. We're told this whole event that Tim read to us takes place in a town called Nain, N-R-A-N, Nain. Anyone you heard of the town before? Anyone you had a chance to visit Nain? Wow, one person. That is amazing. And let me tell you why it's amazing. Because out of the whole Bible, and bearing in mind the Bible's a big, thick book, the town of Nain is only mentioned once in the whole Bible, and that's in the account we just read now in Luke chapter 7. It's not mentioned before. It's not mentioned afterwards. Only this one time. It was a little unimportant town stuck between Capernaum, you may have heard of that place, and Nazareth, literally in the middle of nowhere. So I was trying to think of a contextualized place in South Africa to compare it to. I couldn't think of a place, really. Maybe you can think of a place, but it's kind of stuck between a town, and it's stuck in the middle of nowhere, unimportant, not really significant. That's where this event happens, the town of Nain. Very likely the lady was poor. Most people, my research tells me, in Nain were poor. She was probably illiterate. Most ladies at that time in that place were illiterate. But here's what we know about her for sure. This is guaranteed. She's already been to one funeral. Whose? Her husband's. This is the second funeral she's been to. She's been to her husband's funeral. She's a widow. She's buried her husband. And by the way, next term I want us to host a special lunch at the church. I've spoken to the leaders about it, to honor the widows and widowers in our church. Over the course of my 2 years here at this church, I've stood behind this pulpit multiple times as men and women have said goodbye to their spouses, some of them married for close to 50 years, if not more. We want to honor those people in our church and host a special lunch to make them realize they're not forgotten, but we love them and appreciate them. So this lady's a widow. She's buried her husband, and now she's burying her son, the Bible says, not just her son, but her only son. Now, in those days and in that culture, the son would grow up and he would look after the mother. There was no social security or Kennedy Parks in those days. What would happen is the son or the sons would look after their mothers, provide for them, protect for them, look after them. That was the way the culture worked in those days. And so this lady's whole life, the whole future's been derailed because not just as her husband died, which was bad enough, the breadwinner, the source of provision, but now her only son's gone as well. Her whole future is absolutely shattered. And folk, I don't know if there's anything more devastating a human being can experience than for a mother or a father to lose a child. I don't know if there's anything more devastating than that. We've, as a family, got a very good friend. His name's Norman. Norman was the principal of a primary school here in East London for many years, and he's still teaching at Cambridge High School. Norman lost his little girl to cancer when she was about 8 years old. A prolonged battle with leukemia, and eventually the little girl passed away. Norman and his wife had to bury their girl. And Norman once said to me, you know what, Mark? Losing a child is like an amputation. It's like losing a leg or an arm. Somehow you find a way to exist and to carry on, but you're never quite the same again. This is this lady. a husband. It's gone. Now she's burying her only boy. Just a month ago, one of my best friends in Johannesburg, Gwen, who was in my class throughout my school career up in Joburg, lost a little girl, Ella, 10 years old. Tragic accident. Ella had been given a horse for her birthday a year ago, so for a year she had got used to the horse and was busy riding the horse. And on one Sunday after church, as a family, they went to the horse riding stables, had a lovely church service off to the horse riding stables. Ella's on her horse. She falls off, she breaks her neck, and in front of her mom and dad's eyes, a healthy little girl dies. I'm trying to paint a picture of how this woman must have been feeling. This is brokenness, my friends. The second funeral, first husband's gone, now her boy's gone. She's a broken, broken woman. But what I love about this story is that Jesus comes to her. He doesn't wait for this broken woman to find him. In fact, she wasn't even looking for Jesus, the Bible tells us. She had no idea that on her most broken, the darkest day of her life, Jesus would enter a little, forgotten, unimportant town, and he would find her in a moment of brokenness. The Bible tells us, and Tim read the story, that as Jesus traveled to Maine, crowds were following him. You may have noticed that. And crowds come with demands and needs. And so they were probably saying, Jesus, heal me and help me and teach me and do this and do that. And Jesus, in a sense, bypasses the needs of the crowds and he finds the one, the one. He finds a widow. He finds a mom who's just lost her boy in the middle of nowhere. And he says, I've come to help you on your darkest, most difficult day. I've come to be your strength. I've come to be your peace. And I've come to perform a mighty miracle which will change the rest of your life. My friends, this is one of the reasons why I love Jesus. Because Jesus always takes the initiative. Jesus always follows us. Jesus always pursues us. In fact, Jesus goes out of his way to find broken, hurting, discouraged people. And that's good news for somebody this morning. Because God is not watching your life from a distance, saying, you know what? Do harder. Try better. The Bible describes God, my friends, and I preached on this at a funeral on Thursday. The Bible describes God as Emmanuel. You know what Emmanuel means? God with us. God with us. This is the God of the Bible. God with us on the mountaintops, the days we celebrate birthdays and birth of a child and a marriage celebration, a 21st birthday party, those good times. God is there, yes. But the God I know, the God of the Bible, Emmanuel, specializes in meeting broken, hurting, discouraged people in the valleys, the fires, and the storms of life. The second thing I want to highlight this morning is that Jesus touches dead people and he brings new life. Under Jewish ceremonial law, it was forbidden, absolutely forbidden for anybody, especially a Jewish man or a Jewish woman, to touch a dead body. In fact, if you touched a dead body, you were considered unclean and people would distance themselves from you. So what Jesus did was countercultural. He did something no one else would ever have dreamt of doing. He did something that went beyond the norms of the day and beyond the religious customs of the day. And the Bible says he reached into a coffin and he put his hands on a dead man. And throughout the Bible, you see Jesus doing similar things. He found the lepers. He found the blind, the sick, the dying, the hopeless. And you'll see time and time again, Jesus doesn't speak to them from a distance. Jesus goes to their brokenness and he puts his hands, the hands of God, on their bodies. There's something about a touch from Jesus that does something to somebody. And maybe some of you need that this morning. You need to feel the hands of Jesus reaching into your comfort, into your pain, into your brokenness, and to feel the grip of Jesus Christ touching your spirit. And that's what he does to this boy. He literally, think about this, Jesus reaches into death. And he says to the young man, arise. Just one word. But I tell you, one word from Jesus can change everything. Not 5 words or 10 words or half an hour sermon. One word from Jesus. Arise. When Jesus spoke that word, arise, to that dead boy, I was wondering this morning as I was praying through the sermon, I wonder if the dead boy had a chance to think about it. Well, I wonder if I should come alive or if I just, you know, should maybe stay dead. My friends, when Jesus speaks, things happen. Dead people live. And when Jesus spoke the word arise, that boy had no choice. His spirit came alive and he began to live again. And I was just trying to imagine the scene. Try and put yourself in Nain all those years ago. You, part of the crowd. You're watching this event live. And suddenly out of this coffin, you're seeing a boy sit up. A dead boy. And we know he's dead because the author of this book is Luke. And who's Luke? Luke's a medical doctor. Luke knows what a dead person looks like. This boy wasn't sleeping or in a coma, this boy was dead. And suddenly the dead boy gets up. He opens his eyes and he begins to speak. And Jesus, the Bible says, takes him to his mom. Can you imagine the look on the mother's face? You know, often they use the word speechless. What can you say? My boy is alive. I've seen him with my own eyes get up out of that coffin. And he's living again. He's breathing, he's walking, he's talking. Can you imagine the joy on that mother's face? Her whole life has been transformed. Her whole future has been changed because Jesus touched her boy and he's living again. Now, fast forward the clock. 2,000 years. And Jesus still specializes in resurrections. Sorry, I got so excited I fast-forwarded my notes. Rewind. Resurrections. Rewind. Yes, got it. Jesus still specializes in resurrections. He specializes in bringing dead people to life. Now listen to this. Physically dead people, not often. Sorry to tell you that. In the whole Bible, in the ministry of Jesus Christ, only 3 people were raised to life. 3 people. And guess what? They died again. All 3 of them died again. So physical resurrections, I wouldn't bet my money on that one. But more than physical resurrections, my friends, Jesus specializes in spiritual resurrections, in bringing spiritually dead people to life. You see, it's entirely possible to be physically alive. You can run, you can jump, you can play, you can work. You're physically alive, but you're spiritually dead. Your spirit's disconnected from the giver of life, from the source of life. And that's why Paul writes, in Ephesians chapter 2, look at these words. And God made you what? Alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins. And then he says again in verse 5, even when we were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, God made us alive together with Christ. So, spiritually speaking, we were in exactly the same position as this young man. Dead. We weren't seeking God. We weren't running after God. Dead people are incapable of doing such things. Have you ever seen a dead person running or jumping? They can't do it. They're dead. This man does nothing to assist in his resurrection. Jesus finds him. Jesus reaches out to him. Jesus touches him. Jesus resurrects him. He simply receives his new life as a gift of grace. My friends, here's the parallel. This is exactly how salvation works. Once upon a time, we were all lying in our coffins, spiritually dead. There was a time Jesus came to your life, like he came to Nain that day, maybe unexpectedly, maybe didn't know he was coming. You were dead spiritually, broken, hurting. Jesus came. He found you. He touched you. He revived you. He breathed the spirit of life into you. And today you are alive. Not because you deserved it or looked for it, but you've been a recipient of God's resurrection power given to you as an act of grace. Can somebody please say amen to that one this morning? And you began to live in a way you've never lived before. And I know that it was my story. Friends, one Sunday morning, just like this, I was in my vehicle with my cricket kit in my boot, on my way to play a match here in Ganubia, this field across the road here. I was playing Premier League cricket. I just made one of the border provincial sides. On a Sunday morning, I was coming here to play a cricket match, and I drove past via Vincent. I was on the highway. I passed Christian Center. We all know that church on the hill. And I looked and I saw a car park full of cars. Sunday morning. And in that moment in my car, as clear as daylight, I felt this massive call of God to leave what I was doing, to leave the cricket, and to go and pursue a calling of following and serving and loving Jesus. And so I went to my border coach. And I said, "Sir, I can't play for the border team anymore. I want to resign." He said, "Mark, but you're 20 years old. How can you resign? You can't do it." I said, "Sir, I have to do it. I feel the call of God upon my life on a Sunday morning, not to be on a cricket field, but to be in a church service, hearing the word of God, growing in my love for Jesus. So I can't play cricket anymore. I want to follow Jesus." He said, "Mark, you're a fool. You're throwing away your life and your future for what? For religion." A few years ago, this is now 20 years later, I'm now 42, my friends. I was preaching in a little church in Vincent Methodist Church, preaching a sermon to a group of people like this. And as I was preaching, I looked into the audience and I saw in the middle there an elderly man with tears streaming down his cheeks. And I recognized that man as my border coach. And afterwards he came and he gave me a massive big hug. And he said, "Mark, now I realize why you made that decision all those years ago. Over the last 20 years, I've also walked a road of brokenness, Mark. A road of pain. A road of loss. And Jesus reached into my pain. And now, like you, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ." My friends, one touch from Jesus Christ can change your life, can change your future in a way you never, ever imagined possible. You may have walked a hard road. Some of you have been through things that no one should ever go through. Some of you are wondering if your life will ever be the same again. Just like that lady was all those years ago in Nain. Can I ever recover? Can I ever be the same again? One touch from Jesus, and she was never the same again. And my prayer for this morning is that God, in His grace, not because you've deserved it or because you're good enough, but just by His grace, would reach into your brokenness, into your pain, bring new life, new hope, new peace. And if you're spiritually dead this morning, you're disconnected from God, that just like He brought that boy alive, that spiritually this morning you come alive like you've never, ever been alive before, because Jesus Christ still, in 2016, specializes in resurrections. Let us pray. Let us pray. Oh, what a beautiful moment now, just to be quiet. It's lovely and peaceful and still outside. And let's just, for a moment, just allow this healing and this grace and this peace of God, which we've spoken about this morning, just to flow, as it were, into our lives this morning. Folk, you may have come to the church this morning just out of routine. You may have come not expecting to hear a word from God or not expecting to receive a touch from the Lord. But maybe you came with a need. And as we heard this morning, Jesus goes out of his way. He finds, he searches for, he looks for hurting, broken people. And so if that's you this morning, there's no need to raise your hand or stand or do anything fancy. You just where you are say, Lord, I open myself to you. I receive your touch, Lord. I receive the grace I need, the peace I need, the strength I need. And Father, I pray that as I receive that, I pray that right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would cause new hope to rise. Lord, hope is a powerful thing. We can live without bread and water for a few days. But without hope, it's impossible to survive. So, Father, I pray for those who have lost hope this morning. Pray for those, Lord, who've walked a road of deep brokenness and hurt. For hope. 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 I pray for the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, to guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And Lord, as it were, they would hear that one word from Jesus Christ this morning. Arise. Arise. There's life beyond today. There's life beyond this season of difficulty. There's life for tomorrow. There's life for your future. Thank you, Lord. Wow, we receive that this morning. We're grateful, Father. We receive new life from your gracious and kind hand this morning. Just as we continue in this moment of prayer, don't lose the moment. So I'll ask Kevin, Dave, just to lead us in a song. I just sense God is still, over this time, wanting to just finish a few things in some of our lives this morning. So let's just be open as we hear this song. Then I'll close off in prayer once we're done with that.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace.
Sing with us, church, verse 1.
Oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace.
voice that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear. We are first believe. My chains are gone. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, sing my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Sing my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. He will be forever mine. Will be forever mine.
Folk, I just want to encourage you. I know that God's been at work in many of our lives, and I've even sensed Him at work in my life. And I want to encourage you, I don't know what your plans are for the morning, but maybe some of you need to go and just spend some time thinking, reflecting, journaling, and don't miss out on the moment. You don't want to lose what God's done this morning. It's been a powerful time in His presence. So thank you for coming. If you can spare the time, there's coffee and tea available in the hall, some fellowship. But may God seal in our lives what He's begun this morning, and may it just grow and develop into something beautiful in each one of our lives. So may you go in peace, and may the God of peace go with you. In Jesus' name, amen.